2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'll read our focus verse first, and then I'll read from verse 1 through verse 11. Verse 1 through verse 11. And our prayer is that our Lord would be magnified and honored and glorified through His word this morning. And I know I repeat it a lot, but He's promised it would always accomplish what He sent it for. Always. Our text verse is going to be verse 10. The title of the message is going to be, "We Have an Appointment." Saved people have an appointment. And verse 10 says this, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And then I'm going to read all of it, verse 1 all the way down through verse 11, because that gives us a context to that verse. Verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved," and that is, if we died, "we have a building or a body of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. For so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest or guarantee of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience." As I said earlier, this is an appointment. And I believe it's an appointment for every single child of God, that there is no exception to that. An appointment for every child of God. Now, there's a different appointment for the unbeliever, and that person has an appointment too. But I believe the judgments for the unbeliever are altogether different from that of a Christian, that of a saved person. And I think it ought to be obvious to us as we study the Word of God how that's true. Because we know that all of us who know the Lord, who have been born again, we have had the penalty of our sins taken upon Christ, and He has paid that price in full on our behalf. So the death penalty has been taken away. And we might think, well, doesn't the Bible say there's not any judgment for the Christian? Well, it does say there's not any judgment for the Christian, but it's talking about the judgment, the death penalty judgment for our sins, as looking at it in the way that Christ has paid the price for them, we don't have to take that judgment. In other words, the saved person will never stand in judgment and to go to find out one day whether he's saved or not or what have you. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches there is a judgment for the unsaved, and it's found in the book of Revelation. And it's a great white throne judgment. And I don't know, I might just preach on that one next Sunday morning. I have that thought's crossed my mind because thinking about judgment as it's taught here in this passage of Scripture. For this is strictly for the saved person. It is not to determine one's salvation. And by the way, God doesn't have to do that anyway. He already knows. He already knows. It's not to bring us to understand that. It's already been settled. So the Bible says that for the child of God, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That word, condemnation, in that passage of Scripture is judgment. So it's actually saying there is therefore now no judgment for them that are in Christ who walk not after... And that's not the requirement to be saved, walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, but it is the characteristic of a saved person. All saved persons walk that way. They desire to, and the Lord desires them to, and the Lord deals with them in that way. And that's not true of the unsaved. For the unsaved, and I've known many of them over the years, that have the idea, I got to work, try really hard to do the best I can to quit all the bad things that I do and do good enough good things and maybe I'll make it in. That is not true. That is absolutely not true. But you would not believe how many people out in the world believe that. And if you talk to people who have never gone to church much in their life, if you talk to people that are that way, that's exactly what they think. They think that way. And they really, sometimes they try to do their best so they can be sure to go to heaven one day. And that's wrong. That's the wrong thing. The Bible very clear about something, that we're not saved by our works. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and all of His finished works on the cross of Calvary. So this is for saved people. Also, there's another verse of Scripture, and it's found in John chapter 5 and verse 24. And this is an awesome verse. Jesus said this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Is that not an awesome verse? It is, and it describes the saved person. Jesus said there, "For that all who hear his words and believe on him that sent him hath everlasting life." And I would remind you that that is already true. It's not something you have to wait for. He hath it already, everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment. Well, you say, "Preacher, what are you going to preach a sermon on judgment for the Christian for?" Folks, the Bible teaches that all Christians will stand before the Lord and give an account for their stewardship of God's grace in their life. Oh, I think about it quite often, how good God is to me. I don't deserve a bit of it, and I'm not worthy of the least of His blessings in my life. But He blesses me. He blesses me, and I'm so thankful for that. And it's not because of our works. There's a wonderful verse in this passage of Scripture that I shared with you that defines the attitude of saved people. And it says, "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him." I'm going to tell you how you feel, brothers and sisters. If you've really been saved, you think about that all the time. You want your life to be acceptable unto Him. And so you strive for that in your life. But you're not striving for that in order to be saved. You're striving for that because you are saved. That's what the Holy Spirit has done for you, is caused you to want to live for your Lord and Savior. He's been so good to us. And so, in the way of introduction, in all of these verses that go down before verse 10 are actually in the way of introduction. As you all know, I preach a lot of funeral services, many that you don't know anything about, many that are outside the county, sometimes outside the state. I tell you, and I thank God for the opportunity, the greatest opportunity that any preacher ever had is preaching a funeral service. And that's one of the reasons I don't say a whole lot about the person that has passed. Now, if some of you passed before me and you want me to preach your funeral, and knowing you well, I'll say a few good things about you. But I will get in the gospel and I'll preach the gospel, and I'm preaching it for all who are listening. And every once in a while I'll actually even say this to a crowd. And this past week I preached to a great big crowd. I didn't say this to them, but sometimes I do. And I will say, now I appreciate the opportunity to share the gospel with you, because I know there's people, probably people here, you wouldn't dark a church door to hear a gospel message any other way. You say, preacher, that's mean. No, it's just a fact. There are people that's the only gospel message they'll ever hear. And it really bothers me. I attend funerals oftentimes to hear preachers get up there and spend all of their time lying about the person that passed. I'm serious. I've known preachers to do it, and I've known the people who have passed away, and I've been like the lady who her husband was in the casket and the preacher was preaching, and her son was sitting beside her, and she leaned over and said, honey, go up there and look in that casket and make sure that's your daddy. Because what the preacher was saying, I don't do that. Now, it's gotten me in trouble a time or two, but I don't do it. But these verses that go down before verse number 10 are talking about this. What the discussion here is the departure of the saint. Now, this is one of the reasons why I know this judgment is for saved people, is because of its context. He's talking about the departure of the saints. Now, let me tell you something this morning. If you're saved by the grace of God, and you know you're saved, and you have assurance that you're going to go to heaven when you die, you don't dread death. Now, I don't dread death. I really don't. I enjoy my life and enjoy what I do, and I love my kids and my grandkids, and I love all of you, and I like to spend time with you, and that's why I'm always here every time there's a worship service. One of the reasons is I like to be around you, and I appreciate you so much, and I sincerely do love you. But I'd just soon stay a little while. I'm ready to go, but I don't necessarily want to go today. I'd like to hang around a little bit. Now, there'll come a time when I'll get old and decrepit. I'm not there yet, you know, but I'll get old and decrepit. I was telling somebody about my grandson, Brenton, drawing a picture of me one time. He drew a picture of me, and he took his lead pencil and he put dots all over my face, all over. And I said, Brenton, why'd you put dots on my face like that? And he said, because you're old. But he'll learn better as he gets older that I'm not as old as he thinks I am. But anyway, this is what Paul's talking about. He's talking about the departure of the saints. Now, let me tell you something I know. I know good and well that one day, if the Lord delays His coming long enough, I'm going to pass from this life. I'm going to pass from death unto life is what I'm going to do. There's no period between there. We just take our last breath, and the next existence we'll have is to be present with the Lord, as the text says, to be present. And so, there's a sense in which I look forward to that. I don't want to go just yet, but I look forward when that time comes. And I think one of the worst things that can happen to anybody is to dread that. is to dread it because they're just not sure where they stand with the Lord. Just not sure. And if you're not sure where you stand with the Lord, it might be an indication that you don't stand right with Him. It very well could be. Because one of the things the Holy Spirit does for the saved person is that He makes us know He's present with us. The Bible says that in the little book of 1 John, one of the most precious verses in that book, and I'll turn there and read it. It's just a good thing. And here's what it says. It's in 1 John, and it's in chapter number 4 and verse 13. Here's what He says. Listen to this. Hereby we know that we dwell in Him and He in us. Why? Because He hath given us His Spirit. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit can live and abide in a person's existence and they just not know it. He'll make you know that. He'll make you know that. And so that's a wonderful truth that we have. But Paul says here that we're burdened in this tabernacle. Let me read verse number 4. It says this, "For we that are in this tabernacle," that's your body, "do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life." Now somebody asked me earlier before church started, "Preacher, how's your back?" Well, everybody knows I have trouble with it, and it's just wore out. And so I was answering them and telling them about my back and appreciated so much their interest in asking me that. But I will tell you something. I'm in this tabernacle and sometimes I groan. Like just about every morning when I get out of bed and I try to take off because I know Sue's got my breakfast ready, I groan as I take off because it's sore and it hurts and it's tender and I can't hardly put one foot in front of the other. After I'm going a little while, I do pretty good, but I kept thinking about that. But that's the way it is. That's the way it is. In this tabernacle, let me tell you all something. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I want to tell you something. That's not something we necessarily ought to want to hang on to. We ought to be like Paul here, who said here that we long for that and we look forward to that. And the older we get and the more pain and trouble that we have in life, the more we look forward to that. I want to tell you all this morning, there's nothing in the world, nothing that is better than just the assurance and knowing that I'm a child of God. And one day when I have to depart this world, I'm going to go be with Him. And I want to tell you something, you sure don't want the opposite of that. You don't want to leave this world without Christ. You sure don't. You sure don't. And that makes this verse 11 pretty interesting. And if I get to it, I'll share it with you. But He's talking about that. And He's talking about looking forward to that time. And He says, "Now he that hath wrought this selfsame thing is God, who hath given us the earnest of the Spirit." Now that's what I've been talking about. The earnest of the Spirit. Let me tell you all something. The Bible said it. Don't you dare deny it. The Bible said it. That word earnest is a guarantee of the Spirit. That's the only way anybody has any guarantee, is the earnest of the Spirit that He talks about there. And then to share with us what Paul is saying, we have an ultimate goal as spelled out in this passage of Scripture. And as I say every once in a while, this is something every true saved person desires. It's verse number 9, and I want you to look at it because the first word in that verse is wherefore. You all know what that means. It means this is a conclusion to what has been said before. Wherefore, this is the way we act. This is the way we are. We labor that whether present, whether here on this earth, or absent from this earth, whether present in this body, or absent from this body, we may be accepted of Him. That's what we desire. Now, I've already said this morning, that it's a wrong view to seek to be accepted of Him and to trust in that for your salvation. Accepted of Him by your works. That's a wrong idea. After we're saved, this is something. How could the Holy Spirit be present in somebody and them not have any desire to live their life and be accepted unto Him? That means we want to do everything we can for the honor and glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want you to know I could never do enough to repay Him for what He's done for me. I don't even seek to do that, but I want my life to count for His honor and His glory. I don't want to do anything that would drag His precious name in the dirt. I'm not going to. If I ever do, you're going to know I've completely lost my mind because I'm just not going to do it. I love the Lord. I love Him because He first loved me. And so that's the conclusion that is there. And then this is where we come to our text verse, which says this, for, there's that other word that we need to notice. What does it mean? Because. For in this verse means because. And this is explaining why you would have the attitude you'd have in verse 9. The attitude is that we may be accepted of Him because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. So, Christian, I want you to know something. There's going to come a day you'll stand before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to give an account for all that you've done in the body. Now, listen, I want you to understand this is not to determine if you're saved or not. It's not to determine that. God already knows that. That's already, if you're saved, everything that was necessary to save your soul has already been done. Jesus has died for you. Jesus has paid the price. Jesus paid. You've had all your sin paid for, the penalty of your sin. As we sang every once in a while, my sin not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. You say, well, that ought to take care of it right there. Well, I've been a Christian for about 58 years of my life. And I want you to know in that 58 years, there's been a lot of times that I'm not proud of. I'm ashamed of my shortcomings and my failures along the way. You say, well, what did you do about it? Well, I pray and ask God to forgive me. That's what the Spirit moves us to do. We'll always do that if we really are saved, because He's there and He's working in our lives. And so one of these days, we're going to give an account here for that. And so there's three or four things I'd like to share with you right quickly. Number one, who the judge is going to be. Who is the judge going to be? The judge is going to be Jesus Christ. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where He has His children stand before Him, and they're going to give an account. They're not going to have to pay the death penalty for their sin. But you know, I say it this way every once in a while. I know that I'm going to have to give an account for my stewardship of His grace in my life, His blessings. And what have I done with it? Oh, my friend, if you know the Lord, you should ask yourself, what is it that God has blessed me with? And everybody that's saved, He has blessed us with certain things. What am I doing with it? What am I doing with it? Am I using it for His honor and glory? Am I taking advantage of every single opportunity that the Lord provides for me to honor Him and glorify Him by my life? So Jesus Christ is the judge. The Bible tells us this in John chapter 5 and verse 22. Listen to this verse. It says this,
For the Father, verse 21, for the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, makes them alive. Even so, the Son quickeneth whom he will, Jesus Christ. And verse 22 says, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. So he's the judge. And there's another verse there, verse number 27, which says this, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And so, who's going to be the judge? Jesus Christ himself will be the judge. Also, we find this in Romans and chapter number 2. Romans chapter number 2 and in verse 6, it says this. Romans 2, verse 6. Who will render to every man according to his deeds. And it also says in the 16th verse, and in that day when God shall judge the secret of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Well, how am I going to be judged? I'm going to be judged exactly the way I ought to judge everything else that comes my way in life. I don't care what it is. I don't care what people say, what they believe, what they do, or what they don't do. This book is the final authority on whether it's good or bad or right or wrong. It's the final authority. You wouldn't believe down through the years how many people who don't read their Bible, but they watch a lot of TV, I guess. And they will ask me questions about things that are unethical and immoral or whatever, and say, surely this is not so bad or whatever. As a matter of fact, one of the little booklets back there Brother Wayne brought was, I think it said, or maybe I didn't get it back there off the table, I might have gotten it through the mail, is abortion that bad? Well, I got to tell you something. The Bible tells us, answers that question. Clearly it does. And so there are questions that people raise whether or not this is that bad or whatever, but the Bible tells us it's bad. And the Bible will tell us it's good. And so it's the final authority. And that's how Jesus is going to judge, according to the gospel. That's how we know how that will be. And so he's going to be the judge. It says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, how? Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do, no matter what it is, do it heartily as unto the Lord. My daddy used to say, son, if it ain't worth doing right, it ain't worth doing. He'd get after me if I didn't do something exactly the way he thought it ought to be done. That's what his saying was. And you know what? That's about true according to the Word of God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And you say, well, some of the things I do, I couldn't do that. Well, don't do that. Do something you can do heartily as unto the Lord. And then in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 23, listen to this. He that searcheth the reins and heart and will give to every one of you according to your works. Now we see something in this. You might say, preacher, you've been saying this is not to determine salvation. And it's not. It is to reward or not to reward. Christian, did you know that one of these days that you're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to be judged as to your stewardship of his blessings in your life and the grace that he has given you. And the Bible says this. Paul said, for the foundation no man laid than that which was laid, which is Christ, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. It's going to be exposed. Made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work what sort it is. And if any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved, it as by fire. So all of the things that you do, invest your life in, and focus on, and everything in life is going to meet the test one day. Meet the test. And so it is to reward us. Now, as I've said, only saved sinners will be here. only saves sinners. And so the context bears this out. I'll read some of these verses back to you. Verse number 5, now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, who hath also given us the earnest of the Spirit. Verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Verse 17 says this, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation. And then that awesome verse in verse 21, for he hath made him, for God the Father hath made this God the Son to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. These are just saved people in this whole chapter. That's the context of our verse. And what will this judgment be for? The Bible says here, it's judgment for the things done in the body, or in this body. You see, I'm in this body today, and I'm on this earth today, and I'm alive here today, but one of these days, I won't be in this body. I'll have a new body. I'll have a brand new body. And what Paul's doing is he's distinguishing the difference between the life that we lived here on this earth and in this body from the life that we will have in eternity after death one day. You see, the Bible teaches us that the soul never dies. Jesus told the thief that was beside him, who professed his faith to Christ, said, this day you'll be with me. This day you'll be with me in paradise. Paul said that he desired to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. So there's no sin after death. The only failures and faults and shortcomings that we'll experience is going to be in this life. And the Bible says here the deeds. He says in verse 10, that we'll give account for the deeds that we have done. And so the deeds is everything. And the Bible says, talking about the word said, it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You say, you mean I'll have to give an account for my thoughts and the intents of my heart? That's what the Bible tells us, that we'll give an account for that. And then I want to point out that an appearance is necessary. Listen to what he said. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is not just showing up there. That's not what that verse means. And, you know, if you look it up real careful in the original language and the way it's used in the Bible, it becomes really obvious. It means to be made manifest that which has been hidden. To make manifest that which has been hidden. So in other words, there are folks that they'll live their life and they'll put forth a front that they're a certain kind of person and everything. Have you ever known somebody and you find out they're just really not who they act like they are? They're just altogether different and disappointing. But that's what the Bible says. I want to share a verse of Scripture that points that out. It's found in Mark chapter 4 and verse 21 and 22, which says this, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not be set on a candlestick? In other words, out in the open. And listen to this verse. First, the next verse says this, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest, neither was anything kept secret that shall not come abroad. You know, when I read that verse, I've wondered this several times over the years. I'm going to have to appear here, and I know I am. Well, reckon there'll be others that'll appear there with me. You know, because what this verse is saying, there won't be nothing hidden. It's all going to be exposed. Literally everything exposed. And we think, well, I'm just soon that maybe other people didn't. No, I know the Lord's going to know, but I just assume other people, you know, didn't know the thoughts and intents of my heart, you know, when I don't know. I don't know whether that'd be the case or not. But it's not just to be present, but it is to be made fully known. And so that's what this is saying. And this is when the crowns are going to be given That was one of the questions for our Wednesday night study. All of our studies on Wednesday night have come to me in the form of a question or in the form of a scripture that's been set, and I'm thankful for that. I told the folks one Wednesday night, I said, when you quit bringing me questions, I'll know you're not interested, and so I'm going to stop teaching on Wednesday. Well, no, I won't. I'll make up one myself. Not make it up, but I'll use it. But the crowns is going to be one of our studies. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 2, listen to this. Jesus said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his works shall be. So that's what's going to happen. No, there's nothing we can do to get around that. Nothing. We're going to be totally exposed before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what's it for? It's not to determine if you're saved or lost. It is to determine your stewardship of the blessings that he's given you in this life. Isn't that something? That's what this verse of scripture means. Father, we thank you for this passage, and we thank you that there's actually a warning that goes with it, and didn't have time to get to it this morning, but I'll try to share it maybe next Sunday. But there's a warning that's here, and it talks about knowing the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. And so, Father, help us, we pray. Help us to always be conscious that one day we're going to give an account for everything. It's going to all be exposed, nothing hidden. And help us, Lord, that might be a motivator for serving you more faithfully in this life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, stand with me while Brother Aaron leads us. And listen, if the Lord has spoken to you in some way, there may be a commitment that you need to make. You might need to confess Christ as your personal Savior. I invite you to come while we sing.